Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. With Democrats preparing for their national convention this week in Chicago, presidential nominee Vice President Harris and running mate Tim Walz will kick off a bus tour this weekend that includes Pennsylvania to tout her just-unveiled plans for the economy. CBS's Christian Benavides has more.
In North Carolina Friday, Vice President Kamala Harris outlined an ambitious economic plan in her first policy speech since jumping into the presidential race.
Together, we will build what I call an opportunity economy.
On the housing affordability crisis, Harris is calling for the construction of 3 million new homes, proposing a tax break for builders, and giving up to $25,000 in down payment assistance for some first-time home buyers.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is expected in Israel this weekend, a meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu scheduled for Monday. This, as CBS's Linda Kenyon reports, hopes for a Gaza ceasefire deal may have been revived.
He's cautiously optimistic.
We are closer than we've ever been. I don't want to jinx anything, but as my grandfather said, the grace of God, good little neighbors, a lot of luck. We may have something.
The president was speaking in the Oval Office. While at the State Department, spokesman Vidhan Patel was also upbeat.
What we are focusing on now and what the talks are focusing on is working on the details of the implementation.
The talks in Doha will move to Cairo next week. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Meanwhile, an Israeli airstrike in Gaza has killed at least 18 people, all from the same family. Off the eastern U.S. coast, Hurricane Ernesto slammed into Bermuda this morning, a deadly hurricane, a Category 1 storm. It won't make landfall in the U.S., but senior hurricane specialist at the National Hurricane Center, Eric Blake, tells us it will make coastal waters dangerous.
This is expected to cause life-threatening surf and rip current conditions this weekend into early next week.
Wind gusts have been clocked at 85 miles an hour this morning. The governor of Massachusetts will sign a sweeping maternal health bill into law.
A bill cleared by both legislative chambers in Massachusetts would create a pathway for midwives and lactation consultants to get licenses. It would also encourage the creation of more freestanding birth centers and establish a grant program to address maternal mental health and substance use disorder. The legislation would also expand the statewide universal postpartum home visiting program and mandate that insurers provide coverage for postpartum depression and major depressive disorder screenings for perinatal individuals. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
The CDC reports what they call an alarming rise in parvovirus B19, a childhood disease called slap cheek illness. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Kids in Wisconsin will soon head back to school. Experts have a few tips to get them back into a routine and make sure they're in good shape physically and mentally. Mike Moan reports.
After relaxing over summer break, voices in the world of healthcare say activities like family bike rides or walks can help your child build up their physical stamina. That way, they might not be as exhausted during the first week of school. Nicole Marty, a nurse practitioner with Oak Leaf Pediatrics in Eau Claire, says if your child is anxious about attending a new school, there are some things you can do, like making an informal visit to the building to ease those nerves.
Visiting the playground and playing on the playground, you know, in the weeks before school starts, just so that they can get used to that and it's not such an abrupt start for them. That can be really helpful.
She says practicing breathing exercises in the final days of vacation is another relaxation tool. Parents are urged to get each child's annual medical or sports physical, immunizations, eye exam, and mental health assessment on the books as soon as possible. UnitedHealthcare Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rhonda Randall says it's important to establish a regular routine, including dinner with the family as often as possible.
Putting age-appropriate limits on screen time and access to social media, setting a good sleep schedule, all of those things around consistency help your child feel more confident and secure and stable, and also promote their health.
Randall also suggests parents foster independence in younger kids, encouraging them to dress themselves and learn to use the bathroom, blow their nose, wash their hands, and put on shoes without assistance. Kids also need to feel confident enough to ask an adult for help when needed. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of a thunderstorm with a high near 77. For tonight, scattered storms, 65. For Sunday, slight chance of a shower, otherwise mostly sunny, 76. 73 and sunshine for Monday. Tuesday, sunshine and highs in the low 70s.
Currently, 66 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he's known on TikTok as Mr. Global. Matt Randolph, an oil and gas expert, joins us to talk about the myths of prices. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
August 17th, 2024. If it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the WAUK studios in downtown, right around the corner from Theodore Yeoman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And speaking of suffragettes, we had a primary election this week with some very positive results in shutting down those two referendums that I believe would really have a huge infringement on our rights and our democracy. And more on that later. It's also, I'm joined by the mighty Max Martinson, my faithful companion on the board, the jam master of the board. How are you, Max?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. It's a great day outside, so can't be doing
it
too bad.
Sure is. You know, after the rain and the wind that canceled Friday Night Live, it's great to see a beautiful sunny morning here in the Shaw. And anyway, it's speaking of good weather, football season, high school football season opens up next week. Something I think very unique to Wisconsin with this early start. And to talk about it, Waukesha South, I believe he's the offensive coordinator. He's definitely one of the assistant coaches. John Stillman, also a class of 87 alum, will be calling in here in the first hour to talk about the Blackshirts' inaugural season in the Parkland Conference. Everyone's looking forward to that. And I know Waukesha North is too. They're joining South in the Parkland Conference. And especially, I think, for North, there's a great deal of excitement because the way that they are set up. And we do hope to have at some point Coach Vinciano or a member of that staff from North maybe calling in next week after the first game. And hopefully it's a win for both teams as they play some non-conference opponents. I know South will be opening up against Milwaukee Lutheran, third year in a row. And it's also alumni night, so Tenney Avenue will be blocked off. There'll be a tent for alumni to come and enjoy some refreshments, some live music, while they also enjoy their beloved Blackshirts doing battle. In the second hour, and really the primary guest of the show, Waukesha native and Waukesha North alum, apologies to North Star Nation. I put that he was a South alum, and thanks to Rocker, Mr. Schneiderman, for correcting me on that. Rocker was a South alum. His parents still live down the road, I believe, from the high school there. And so he made that very clear that I goofed up. And my apologies to Rocker and to North Star Nation. But Pat Nettesheim is coming in the second hour. He's an accomplished musician, the co-founder of Guitars for Vets, which offers some wonderful healing services for vets through music therapy, through basically free guitar lessons. It's a really wonderful mission. And he's actually starting a second philanthropy that's more inclusive, offering the same services to all sorts of people, anybody that's dealing with mental health issues and could really benefit from some great music therapy. And we'll have a farmer's market report, two of them in the second hour. David will be calling in, and he'll be sharing. There's some recipes that are given away every week, new recipes at the farmer's market. So some great ideas with that fresh produce you're buying, as well as some of the proteins that are being offered. And of course, acting locally, thinking globally here in the first hour as kind of a build-up for when Pat Nedersheim comes in the second hour. We're going to talk about the power of music and a documentary I watched last night called Disciple that is worth a watch. And then we'll have the Carol Minute. So we are pretty excited about all of that. So as I mentioned, we had a primary election. As many of you know, primaries don't get a very big turnout. In fact, I think statewide it was 26%, which actually for a primary is pretty high. Here in the city of Waukesha, though, I learned there was a 40% turnout. So kudos to us and kudos to all of you for rocking your vote. And, recognize there's a lot of language about freedom and everything. And in a lot of these countries where there is also freedom, there are much higher percentages of voter turnout. And so we really need to educate, inform, and get people out to rock the vote. I want to draw attention to... without beating a dead horse, I know we've talked about a lot in our other civic media shows, but the two referendums, which many believe were deliberately confusing, and they were constitutional amendments that were on the August ballot, were shut down by a vote of 58 to 42. And, really pleased to see that because, again, we want to remind people that those amendments were intended to eliminate checks and balances by tricking voters into giving sole power for spending to the legislature. Currently, the governor and legislature work together to decide how to spend the state budget. So no matter what your party is, that's how our system of checks and balances is designed, so that it's a fair and equitable process. And then imagine with an emergency response, that amendment, which was the second one, could slow or block funding for emergencies that require help right away, like a flood, a bridge collapse. I know in Estelle Max here in Southeast Wisconsin, probably every 10 or 15 years, there's a tornado that I remember the last one took out a lot of houses and a lot of businesses. And imagine having to wait longer than you should, because, the way it is federal funds will come in through, I believe it's FEMA, and it goes straight to the governor, and the governor can then distribute those funds accordingly right away. And, if this amendment had passed, that would no longer be a thing. It would sit in committees and in legislature, and it would get to the people a lot longer than it should. And so it would create more gridlock for the legislature. So we're really glad that Wisconsin came out and voted no to that, because again, no matter what your party, no matter what your politics, having a system of checks and balances in our government is so important to keeping power in the hands of all of us voters and people. So happy to talk about that. And with the upcoming election, and also with another review of the primary, my guest next week is Kristen Hansen, who will be in the second hour from Blue Sky Waukesha. And she'll talk more about other elections, primary elections, and a review of that, as well as information on the upcoming elections and how you can best prepare to vote. And in this age of disinformation nationally and polarization, I'm also pleased to have on my show on Saturday the 31st, Labor Day weekend, Deanna Troust of Truth in Common, Washington, D.C. based, will be calling in. Her mission is she puts on a series. She's an established communications expert who provides these workshops to different organizations and community groups, people. She's working on a concept for libraries that we may be pitching to Waukesha's library, or Waukesha County's anyway. And it's basically teaching people how to effectively address or confront disinformation and distinguish truth from basically outward lies or confusing literature. And the idea being that helping us become better informed in choosing our candidates, because that's the most important thing here, especially in this age, this cult of personality, where we are enamored by big personalities, but not really focusing here on the issues. So we are looking forward to those next two shows. And don't forget, too, I have a really nice podcast page where all these shows are stored. So if you miss a show, you can go to my podcast page and review them. And it's really, in this summer, it's really become quite a collection of living history. I had a phone interview with Bob Habish, who was the attorney representing the widows of the three ironworkers that were killed in the what was known as the Miller Stadium project. July 14th was the 25th anniversary of that, and the ironworkers and the building trades had a really nice ceremony at what is now AmFam Field that day to commemorate, to keep those lost ironworkers in our hearts and our memories. And, you know, having a very accomplished attorney like Bob Habish calling into the show and reliving those memories was such a huge moment for me. So, and then we also had, you know, Stephanie Olson was a guest who survived a sexual assault in her own store and then worked diligently to bring that offender to a very swift and justice. And she's now become an advocate for other victims of sexual assault. And, you know, very honored to have her in our community. And so there's so many other great interviews, artists. We had Amy Lee Sazima coming out. She's got a new book coming out. I believe she may have had her release party out in Pewaukee. And her book is called Fleetwood Dreams, Climbing a Mountain After a Landslide. And so 3 minutes, Max, is that right? Awesome. Thank you. So, but then a book I'm starting to read now is from Kristen Oakley, who was another guest on my show. And it's called Carpe Diem. I'm showing it here in the StreamYard for any of you watching the video portion of this show. Carpe Diem, Illinois, a Leo Townsend novel by Kristen Oakley. And it's her books have very dystopian themes. And her and I are going to catch up. We did a great show together. I was virtual from Minnesota. Kristen was here in studio sitting in my seat. And we're going to get together with coffee. She's currently at a conference in Portland, Maine. What a great time to be there as summer winds down. So many exciting things going on. And, hey, we're taking your calls here on the Civic Media app. If you haven't downloaded it already, it's, you know, download it from your smartphone. And once it's there, choose WAUK. Click on the phone icon, and that gets you through to the show. And we'd love to hear your questions. Love to hear what you're working on, what you're reading, what your plans are for today. Again, we've got very blessed with some beautiful weather after some bad rain yesterday. And so we want to hear from you. And I look forward to sharing with you my thoughts on how we can act locally, think globally, and what we can do to build a better Waukesha. And I tell you, I can't wait for football season. Are you a big football fan, Max?
I am a very big football fan. I've been one ever since I've been 2 years old. My earliest memory I can remember as a kid is the 2007 NFC Championship and my dad jumping up and down as Tynes hit that game-winning kick in overtime.
So. Oh, yeah, that was a rough one. Yep, and yeah, that was fantastic. So I'm looking forward to the NFL, college, but high school opening up next week, which if the weather holds out nicely, usually it's like brutally hot, but last couple of years it's been pretty good. Really looking forward to that. Very unique, I think, to Wisconsin. High school football starting in the second week of August, second or third week. But so much more to talk about here on This Week in Waukesha. And remember, Coach John Stillman will be calling in to talk about the upcoming season. And so much more. Don't go away. Yeah. Help me, can. I know that you can. Talk about it. Talk about it. Oh, get it out. Share it out. Help me, can. Don't just talk about it. Talk about it.
The Shaw. WAUK.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to
travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Allball Show.
You're listening to This Week in Waukesha on WAUK. I'm your host, Don Brown, 5:40 a.m. And Waukesha's favorite son, Les Paul, with wife Mary Ford, and the world is waiting for the sunrise. And we don't have to wait here in Waukesha. It's a beautiful sunny day already at 7:20 a.m. Another farmer's market Saturday. And Les Paul, if for any of you that saw my Facebook post, there was a photo of Les Paul at age 14 in 1929. And yes, in addition to his innovations with the guitar, he invented the rack, that type of harmonica holder as well. And Lester William Polesfuss, born June 9th, 1915, a fellow Gemini like myself. He died 15 years ago this week, this past Monday, August 12th, 2009. And, of course, we know him better as Les Paul, an American jazz, country, blues guitar, songwriter, luthier, and inventor. Do you know what a luthier is, Max?
I have absolutely no idea.
I didn't either until I Googled it, and it is a craftsman who fixes guitars and other string instruments. So
makes sense.
I love that. So I have to call my good friend Charlie Madigan down in Evanston, Illinois, a retired journalist for the Chicago Tribune for many years, who in his retirement enjoys restoring old guitars and restringing them. And so I'm going to ask him if he knew that he was also a luthier. I bet you he did. He was a man of great words. He's also written many great books. So, yeah, we remember Les Paul on the anniversary of his passing. Long life, too. June 1915 to 2009. And now for acting locally, thinking globally, one of my family members referred me to a new documentary out on HBO. It's called Disciple. And if you like rock and roll music like I do, it centers on one of my rock heroes, Little Steven Van Zandt, or Miami Steve, who many of you may know better as the actor who played Silvio on The Sopranos. That's right, the lead guitarist for Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band. That, by the way, was his actorial debut, and he nailed it. He may have done some smaller things with Martin Scorsese, but I urge everybody to watch that documentary, because Little Steven was a leading force in that New Jersey soul rock movement, working with artists like Dion and the Belmonts, Gary U.S. Bonds, some of the other great artists that came out of the area, Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, and of course his best friend Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. And Little Steven, in addition to being a great musician, also produced many of those albums from those different artists. He wrote many of the songs. He wrote a song for Gary U.S. Bonds that was a hit later on in Bonds' career. He then, in his world travels, had learned about the injustices of apartheid in South Africa. And during the 80s, he organized artists against apartheid. They produced a song called Ink in a Place, Sun City. And that led to raising lots of funds and putting some political pressure and this was historic. Congress was looking to pass sanctions against South Africa during the 80s. President Ronald Reagan had vetoed it. But the Congress had overrode a veto, which is not an easy thing to do, overriding a presidential veto. You need, I forget if it's 2/3 or 3/4. I'm embarrassed by my ignorance of the Constitution there. But they overrode it by like a 91% vote. It was just amazing. And that, you know, basically shut down a lot of banks in South Africa and really forced the South African government to release Nelson Mandela from prison. And so this musician, this artist from New Jersey, was a driving force in that. And his music was a big part of making that happen. And This is a great lead into my guest in the second hour, Patton Edesheim, on the value of music and what it can do. And Pat has, he's taken his craft about, I think it was about maybe 15 years ago now or 18 years ago, he started Guitars for Vets, which offered free guitar lessons to veterans who are dealing with PTSD and some other mental health issues relating to their service in service for our country. And he's starting another philanthropy that's that Guitars for Vets mission, but it's more inclusive. It's going to open it up to civilians and any citizens that are dealing with those types of mental health issues, anxiety, PTSD, depression, you name it, and offering free guitar lessons. And he's also, I believe he's involved in a concert next week in a park in Wauwatosa. He's going to talk about that. And he's going to talk about his roots in Waukesha and some of his experiences with a lot of those, with some of the great bands that actually made albums here back when downtown, in the unfortunate days of downtown Waukesha, when a lot of space was cheap and you could do makeshift studios and make some really great music. So really looking forward to having Pat on. And again, the idea, like any of you young people and any of you parents, if they have a passion for music or the arts, encourage it, because you never know what they can do with it. It's not just an art form. It's something that, you can earn a pretty good living, but more importantly, you can make a huge impact on the world around you, and you can leverage that in business, in politics, in community service, in so many ways that we can make an impact here. And again, we have no better example of that than Les Paul and all that he accomplished. And I think it's a bigger deal that he's in the Inventors Hall of Fame than it is that he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm still very bitter that they haven't inducted Warren Zevon yet. So how are we doing on time there, Max?
We got about 3 minutes left, but I was just doing some research here on Little Steven. With all the stuff that he did for that, I'm kind of surprised that he was never at Live Aid. I don't know if he was ever big enough for it, but it seems like that would have been something that Live Aid would have been all over, especially with his work.
You know what it was? That was like the first leg of the Born in the USA tour. Now, Steven had already left the band, and he was with Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul, which was a great band, but It didn't achieve necessarily the broad success.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's one reason why he wasn't invited. The other was in the second leg, Bruce Springsteen never played more than 15, 20,000 people concerts, right? But Born in the USA got so big that he had to expand to larger, like football stadium size, 60, 80,000 seat venues. And he needed an extra guitarist. He had Nils Lofgren, another great artist in his own right, filling in for Little Steven, but they had Little Steve and they had the two guitarists playing together so they could really amp up the sound on those bigger tours. So they were, I think, contractually conflicted, maybe that they couldn't like stop what they're doing and do because they had this huge tour going on. But I know they're very supportive. You know, Bruce Springsteen was involved in the USA for Africa, the We Are the World, making that video. So but that was it.
He wasn't in Live Aid, though, either, which was pretty controversial at the time, given his popularity.
And it wasn't because he was against it or anything else like that. I think they just knew because he was one of the few artists that was stood out against President Reagan, who was very popular. And that was the other thing, too, with Little Steven's political involvements. It didn't make him very popular either. And I think that may have been another reason why he was very marginalized. And so, but they were very much in support. I'm sure they threw some dollars at that and were supportive in other ways. I wouldn't have been surprised if either of those were involved in the Farm Aid. That also was a byproduct of Live Aid. So, but in terms of his political activities, Little Steve, he still remains an activist. And so, and he's done some great things. He did another series for Netflix called Lilyhammer, which he was doing a concert in Norway, and these people approached him. We got an idea, and that's how Lilyhammer took place, which was hilarious. But anyway, I know we're running out of time here in this moment, but John Stillman will be calling in soon to talk about the Black Shirts football season here on This Week in Waukesha, WAUK, 540 AM.
Dear one, the world is waiting for the sunrise. Every little
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Vice President Harris announced a plan to cut taxes and lower the cost of groceries, housing, and other essentials. More from CBS's Natalie Brand.
Her campaign tells CBS News additional costs to the budget would be offset, they say, by increased taxes on corporations and high earners. Former President Trump says he will be giving additional remarks on the economy Monday in Pennsylvania, where he will also rally today.
An Israeli airstrike in Gaza has killed at least 18 people, this just after negotiators wrapped up 2 days of ceasefire talks. The BBC's Sebastian Usher is following all that.
Pressure is building internationally. The pressure is also building domestically on both Israel and Hamas to do a deal. Incidents like we just had this morning in Gaza underline the urgency of this for the Palestinians in Gaza.
Israel has not claimed responsibility for the attack. Hurricane Ernesto is rampaging over Bermuda. Most of the power on the Atlantic island is out. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers had their joint practice session. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers squared off in a practice with the Broncos yesterday before their preseason game tomorrow night. Broncos head coach Sean Payton and now his first-round rookie quarterback Bo Nix looked against Green Bay's defense.
His decision-making was good. I felt he was comfortable in the pocket. I thought his locations were good. The number one thing to do with quarterback is lead your team.
Packers defensive back Jair Alexander.
I think there's things we could have been better at, but all in all, this is what we do it for. We do it to improve.
Baseball, the Brewers with a 5-3 win over the Guardians. The crew now with a 10-game lead in their division with just 40 regular season games left to play. Christian Yelich with a message to fans after having season-ending back surgery in Milwaukee on Friday.
It sucks. It's terrible, but these things happen. You get hurt, you get fixed, and you get back out there. Try to stay as positive as possible about it. It's going to be for the best. It's a positive short-term, terrible long-term. It's going to be all right.
That's Christian Yelich with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of a thunderstorm with a high near 77. For tonight, scattered storms, 65. For Sunday, slight chance of a shower, otherwise mostly sunny, 76. 73 and sunshine for Monday. Tuesday, sunshine and highs in the low 70s.
Currently, 66 degrees.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own, but my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes, that you don't manage with willpower alone. So now I take medications that work to curb the cravings and, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I've learned that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Find out how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah!
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Hey, it's producer Conrad. P will be back from vacation Monday with guests Rob Thomas and Bill Luff. The Democratic National Convention is next week, so join the Nightlight stream from 7 to 9 p.m. on Facebook, YouTube, or X.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It was the
Shaw on WUK 540 AM. I'm your host, Don Brown, and you're listening to Greg Kinn and his opus hit, The Breakup Song, back in the 80s. And Greg Kinn had passed away, sadly, on Thursday, August 15th, at the age of 75 after a painful battle with Alzheimer's. And so really sad to see him go. But fond memories. And when Greg Kinn was in his prime, our caller, Waukesha South, I think assistant head coach John Stillman, was scoring touchdowns for the Blackshirts when he was in high school there. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Doing well, Don. Good to hear from you.
Good. And I know you're more of a Queensryche fan, but did you also like, did you also like Greg Kinn? Do you remember Greg Kinn?
Oh, when that song was playing, it brought me back.
Yeah.
I don't know much of his library, but that song for sure.
Yeah, there was that, and I think Our Love Is in Jeopardy. That might have been it. But and Weird Al Yankovic did a his own version of our I Lost in Jeopardy. Yeah,
more than that one.
Yeah. So, but hey, thanks so much for calling in, Coach. I know you're going to be driving to Purdue University today to take your daughter to school. So that'll be an exciting trip.
Yeah.
But hey, tell me about the
in about a half an hour. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. So hey, tell me about how did the Blackshirts look this year?
Well, we're going to be young. We are going to be. I would say the majority of our team are sophomores and maybe some juniors sprinkled in, and then seniors might be the lowest populated class that we have. So we're going to be earning while we learning.
Sure.
That's okay.
Sure. That's terrific. And your starting quarterback will be a sophomore. Is that correct?
That is correct. Jordan Garcia. He's for the first 2 weeks of our camp, he's really stepped up as a guy. He doesn't look like a sophomore.
That's great.
We don't know how he's going to play yet.
Sure.
Very confident in what he's going to do. But as far as leadership, boy, he's really buying into that role.
I love to hear that. Music to my ears. And I think, for sure we know they're going to be much more competitive being in the Parkland Conference versus the Hateful Eight. I mean, the Classic Eight, where for, you're basically playing mostly against, D1 caliber talent. And on lines that I see there were, I broadcast Carroll football last year, and I think Classic Eight lines were maybe, had quite a few pounds on a lot of the good D3 lines, perhaps even your alma mater, North Central. And so it's going to be it's going to be good for South and North to be playing in the Parkland and having a better bite of the apple, a more equitable bite. And so
that's really all we've been asking for. That's to line up and play teams that look like us, that have similar issues or similar predicaments as us. And, when you line up against, and we're not complaining about it. We did what we had to do, but
sure.
it was a little daunting when you line up for the national anthem and our team spreads from like the 35 to the 35 and the other teams cover the whole sideline. And there really wasn't much we could do about it.
Right. Yeah. And I think too, as some of the players have described, for the linemen, it was especially debilitating because you're going up with against guys that had a good 75, maybe 100 pounds on you.
Yeah, when that happens, it isn't a matter of skill. It isn't a matter of coaching. It isn't a matter of anything other than physical dominance. And for the most part, in those teams that have the one school per city.
Yeah,
they're able to
per region for some of them,
we're trying to get back and at least compete.
Yeah, well, I'm excited, and the home opener's alumni night, and so Tenney Avenue will be closed. There'll be a tent and some refreshments for Blackshirt alumni. And so, if you weren't coaching, John, you would be there with many old friends, maybe throwing a few shots down or. Maybe listen to some music.
I try to get out there for pregame and say hi to some people, and then it's business, and then it's time to go to work, and then afterwards, hopefully, catch up with them and see what they're doing after all these years.
That's great. Yeah, and it is really neat to see, for someone here that's a transplant that's lived here for under 15 years, to meet so many people that came back here to live after graduating from South. And you can say the same for North, yeah, as well, that there is such a strong connection here. And but going back to the team, in addition to the diaper dandy, Jordan Garcia at quarterback, any other players we should be looking out for that you think will be impact players for the Blackshirts?
Well, we're blessed that we have some pretty darn good athletes. And some of the people that I'll mention are multi-sport, which we totally encourage. But we're going to have to get the ball to Zayas DeWalt.
The general.
He's going to be a guy that we're going to put in different spots, because we believe that we need to put the ball in our playmakers' hands, and he's definitely one of them. He'll play running back. He'll play receiver. Might even see him at Wildcat, you know, just to get him on the field and get him in different looks.
Sure. So the reason we call him the general is because he reminded me so much of Sherman Douglas of Syracuse in basketball, when Zayas plays basketball. So that's why I call him the general. So you got to spread that name in the football field.
Did he get the reference?
I don't think, you know, he's so young, but I think if someone calls you the general, yeah, I think you take it as a compliment, you know, because he's a very soft-spoken guy as far as I know. So it's not like he's, you know, a bully or anything like that. But you know, his style, though, reminded me of Sherman Douglas. So
that's a good comp. I see you and I get that reference.
Right.
Might get lost on our
kids. I know. So, you'll think him a walkthrough.
He's a soft-spoken leader.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Yeah. So, yeah, you'll have to educate him on Sherman Douglas.
I will do that. No, but he's definitely going to be one of the guys. Keegan DeGeorge will play a role in our stuff with as a receiver. Nice. But all these guys that we have, you know, we don't have a lot. Our motto is, you know, this is all we got, but this is all we need. And
sure,
you know, we're going to roll with the guys. And like I said, we're going to be young, and we're going to learn along the way. And I think we're going to surprise some people, especially with the fact that we're playing teams that look a lot like us.
Yeah. So, and it just be, you know, again, it's, you could have the same outcomes, but at least it'll be a better brand of football. It'll be a competitive opportunity for our young men and a growth opportunity.
Yeah.
So, and go ahead.
It's hard to explain that to people who haven't really lived this and only see the results from the outside the last few years, and they don't realize that these kids are working as hard as they possibly can and not getting the results. And yeah, as we said in the new conference, it's, you know, not for nothing, they're going to have at least a chance before the first the kickoff of,
yeah,
hey, we're in this, we're in this. And that's not what we had before.
Sure. And what I've been emphasizing is that, you know, the last 2 weeks, I know you never miss a show, John, that, you know, we had some of your former players, Tyler Williams and Hector Carranza, and the following week goes Evan Stout and Logan Dable, and all those guys are going on to play some college football. And yeah, and then there's Chris Flowers, who's going to be playing D1 for Minnesota. And I'm probably missing a few other names. So it's like, for this team that was at the bottom of the Classic 8 to have like so many players continuing their football careers in college, you know, that says a lot about the Blackshirt program. And I'm sure, you know, your rivals at North, they've got quite a few kids going on to play on Saturdays, as they say. And,
you know, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I mean, even from a couple of years ago, we had two Division I guys and,
right. Yeah.
A quarterback who started at
Tack and CJ
Division I as a freshman.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that we do have talent, but we just didn't have enough of it. Our depth wouldn't allow us to continue the second half. We just got worn down.
Sure.
And I think we're going to have some guys playing on Saturday from this group.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And that's got to be exciting. And I think what you'll see happen, and it happened last year, is when you guys start to win, there's going to be some more kids showing up. And I don't know how
we've already seen that influx. Yeah. We've already seen that just because, we're not in the Classic 8 anymore. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've seen that.
Now we get to play.
But I think you're absolutely right that we hopefully see that, you know, even more going forward.
And the youth program go ahead, John.
Yeah. And I was actually going to say the youth program,
our ears are ringing,
is going to benefit. And it's also going to, you know, hopefully get that alumni back and being proud of, you know, being part of Black Shirt Nation.
Yeah, that's terrific. And I was going to say, as the youth program continues to grow, is that correct?
Yeah, the numbers are great. You know, they're out there every day and they're doing the things that we're asking them to do. And those youth coaches are putting in their time. They're not getting, you know, they're getting paid in t-shirts. And so
well said.
They're part of it. They're a big part of it.
Yeah. I talk a lot with Justin Ben Dixon. He lives in Banting Park near us. And he's been telling me about a lot of the success of the different youth teams, especially last year. Had some really good, not just winning seasons, but like undefeated or one loss seasons at different levels. And that's gotta be something to look forward to. And as you at the varsity level, something to look forward to in terms of developing them further.
Absolutely. There's a couple of kids on that eighth grade team. I was, you know, walking around at a couple of their practices and I thought a couple of them were lost and should have been on our field, but they were only eighth graders. So they have some pretty good size.
That's great. And you continue to get a lot of support from the parents too. If I remember from my time being involved in the program.
Oh yeah. They get it.
Yeah.
We've had nothing but positivity from the parents and they realize what we're trying to do and they realize, you know, the obstacles that we have faced and continue to face. And we only have their son's best interest in mind.
That's great. Now, any additions to the coaching staff? I heard there were some changes from last year, some upgrades even.
Our defensive side is pretty much brand new. We have, I'm just going off the top of my head, I think we have 5 new coaches out of the 10.
Interesting.
And 4 of them are on defense.
Okay.
The only holdover from defense is Bodart, Ben Bodart.
Okay, yeah, love Ben.
And I don't get a chance to see what they're doing all the time.
Sure.
Just because we're doing our own thing on offense. But I ask them a little nosy. I ask some of the kids, hey, how's it going over there on defense? And every single kid that I've asked, because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is really good. This is, you know, this is what we needed or whatever. But it's been positive.
Oh, that's 100%. Great. Terrific. And will you have a fair amount playing both ways?
Think we're going to have to.
Right.
Haven't really looked at the lineups, but
sure.
I'm assuming that we're going to.
Terrific.
But even that, we're going to have to get people breaks and give them off the field every once in a while.
Sounds great. Well, John Stillman, and what's your official role? Are you the assistant head coach, offensive coordinator, both, or just Coach Stillman?
Well, I was offensive coordinator, and then I stepped back a little bit because of the baseball gig. And
right.
So I'm with the quarterbacks. And
nice.
Yeah.
And do you
not,
share
not totally official? But.
You share duties with Grayson Cooley on the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Good.
Grayson
will
help us out as much as he can. His
sure.
His job situation has led him
sure.
elsewhere, but.
Got it.
He'll still be part of it.
Sounds good. Well, Coach, I know you got a long ride to West Lafayette, Indiana. Best of luck. Best to your family and to Jennifer. And good luck with the Blackshirt season opening up next Friday night, alumni night. Alumni, come early, come often, and root on the Blackshirts. Coach Stillman, thanks again, and have a safe trip.
Don, thank you so much.
Always a hoot. We'll talk to you soon, John.
All right. Sounds good.
Terrific. See ya. So that again was John Stillman, who's also the varsity baseball coach at South and a distinguished alumnus in their Hall of Fame. Anyway, so much more here on This Week in Waukesha as we prepare for hour two. Pat Nettesheim will be our guest, and also some big deals I want to talk about here on This Week in Waukesha, 5:40 a.m. WAK.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all,
you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Summer is ending and pools are closing soon. Horeb Springs Aquatic Center closes on Tuesday, August 20th, and Buckner Pool closes on Sunday, August 25th. Dive right into the pool one last time to celebrate the end of the season. With summer ending, that means fall is around the corner. The fall activity guide is scheduled to be released on Friday, August 16th. There are numerous fall events and programs to get involved with. Look for the guide coming to your mailbox soon.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Hypnotized by the satellites into believing what is good and what is right. You may be worshipping the temples of man or lost in the prisons of religion, but can you still walk back to happiness when you've nowhere left to run? The beaten generation, the beaten generation, reared on a diet of prejudice and misinformation. The beaten generation, the beaten generation. Open your eyes, open your imagination.
Hey, you're listening to This Week in Waukesha, and that was The with The Beaten Generation. Another one of my favorite bands from the 80s, another classic. For any of you real guitar or music aficionados, the guitarist on that album who joined the band, it was a one-person band, the I think his name was like Matt Johnson or something like that, but Johnny Mars from The Smiths, that excellent guitarist, contributed in the making of that album, and I think it was called Mind Bomb, or something. I'll have to remember what that is, but great song, and it's obviously very... pervasive in terms of what's going on today. And we are not the beaten generation, as evidenced by the referendum on Tuesday that was shot down, both referendums, and some of the success we're seeing in elections in other countries where some of these very extreme movements are being defeated in presidential elections and whatnot. And we're seeing a lot of trends that is turning here. And again, I don't belong to a party, but I would have to support the blue ticket, if you will, and because I'm in favor. I'm not into kings. I'm Irish. I'm very aware of a 700-year history of oppression under the rule of a king, and it simply doesn't work, especially for people in cities like ours. There's a lot of self-starters. There's a lot of entrepreneurs. There's a lot of creatives, a lot of people with great imaginations. And you don't want to put limits on our ability to think, to be part of a democratic, small d, a democratic or small r Republican system where the people have a voice and have a part in the government. And you know, my challenge to everybody else, too, is ask yourself if you've ever called the local legislator, your local legislator, for any issues. As an alderman, I thrived on those. I even calls with complaints or people that were upset because it gave me an opportunity to connect, and it gave me an opportunity to build a more connected community. And so, but ask yourself, you know, you ever written a letter to your congressman? You ever called your congressional office? You ever call your, and that's a great measure of your legislator's effectiveness is, or your executives, is their ability to respond to constituent calls. The good ones are doing that, even at the highest levels. They're listening, and they're showing up from Madison or D.C. in their districts, and they're talking to their constituents. They're going to town hall meetings, going to different groups, and that's a big part of what makes this American experiment work. So, and we see it working here at the local levels where City Waukesha wanted to send out a big thank you to city staff and the poll workers who helped at the election on Tuesday. There is one more election, of course, on Tuesday, November 5th, and the city needs more poll workers. So it is a paid position, too, keep in mind. So be sure to go to City Hall or call the clerk's office and see how you can get involved and be a part of this, again, this American experiment, this democratic process. And City Watch, I know from my own experience, very high integrity in the way that the elections are operated and the way that they're officiated and the way that the votes are counted. I know that from personal experience as someone who lost my first election by 12 votes, absentee votes, against a guy who was no longer running but has his name had to stay on the ballot. I won the in-person election by 5, and though there were election judges that knew me and liked me, but they had to do the right thing. And, you know, again, who would have missed 13 ballots, whatever? I mean, who would have known? But that's not how our system of government works. So thankful for that. Neighborhood Beer Gardens, put those on your calendar. First one is August 22nd. That's this Thursday from 5 to 9 at Rivers Crossing Park. It starts next week, and there's 3 different dates, but check that first one. And it's also, I'm sorry, it's Thursday through Saturday next week. So August 22nd, 5 to 9, August 23rd, 5 to 9. Saturday, August 24th, 3 to 9 p.m. 3 to 9 p.m. So stop by to meet with neighbors, make new friends, and enjoy some music. So I think that's that is terrific that they're doing that. And you know, the last song when we came out was the breakup song by the recently departed Greg Kinn. He passed away last Thursday. Very sad to hear. I was telling Max that the only time I saw Greg Kinn live was when he opened up for Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul, who, when I was talking about acting locally and thinking globally, watch that documentary called Disciple. It's on HBO. If you love rock music like I do, if you love politics and government and community, you know, check that out. And it really shows the power of music in affecting so many lives and also in affording other career opportunities for any of you young people that are interested. You know, Little Steven not only became a musician, he became an activist, he became an actor. And he was doing a concert in Norway, and these two people, a husband and wife writing team, approached him about a concept for a series they were pitching to Netflix called Lilyhammer. And Little Steven was the right role for it. As you know, he was Silvio on The Sopranos, and he's had so many great experiences. He's also put on, he took the music of one band. It wasn't Gary U.S. Bonds. Oh, The Rascals, another New Jersey band. And they made a play into that, a Broadway play that was very successful. And so don't forget what the power of music and the arts can do in terms of creating opportunities, especially here in the birthplace of Les Paul. And I'm chomping at the bit because I know Pat Nettesheim will be coming on in the second hour here. He might even be waiting outside the studio. And if you haven't already, download the Civic Media app so you can take This Week in Waukesha with you anywhere you go. And we're taking your calls on the Civic Media app. Just push that little phone icon on the WAUK page of the app, and we'll take your calls here on This Week in Waukesha on this beautiful Saturday morning. It's another Farmer's Market Saturday here on WAUK 540 AM. And also check out our big deals. They send in the special police to deliver us from liberty and keep us from peace. Ill upon their tongues when they tell us justice is being done, but freedom lives in the barrels of a war gun. The beaten generation, the beaten generation, reared on a diet of prejudice and misinformation. The beaten generation.
The Shaw, WAUK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Todd's in Chicago getting ready to cover the Democratic National Convention. So on our next show, tune in for coverage of the event.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I know I'm ready to start my opioids recovery journey because I've got courage, support, and meds. Yeah, meds. See, opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, kind of like heart disease or diabetes. And now, there are effective meds out there that work to curb the cravings. And, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I found out that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Learn how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.